Hey guys, Ryan here. Before we get on with today's episode, I want everyone to go and give a follow to White Albino on Instagram. They have some great, great clothing. They have t-shirts, sweatpants, shorts, hoodies, you name it, they have it. And it's a local clothing brand in my hometown as well, and they make some awesome, awesome products. So if you want, go check out White Albino at their website as well, and use code QFPOD at checkout for 10% off. Thanks guys, and enjoy today's episode.
Hello, podcast listeners, and welcome to Quarantine Football with Nate and Ryan. I'm your guest host, Adam Pallant. Now, Nate, Ryan, and Dorian, they should be ending their hiatus soon as they prepare to head back to school, which means this may put an end to yours truly as guest host for a while. I want to say it has been a pleasure to jump in and keep the podcast train going. This podcast and all you listeners mean so much to the boys, and well, you mean a lot to me as well. So, as you know by now, I am Ryan's stepfather, and yes, we are still talking football. Now today, we have a guest on the show, a friend I have known since elementary school. A friend who I played pickup football with, watched a good amount of NFL games with, if my memory serves me correctly, or maybe not. His name is Bob Schweidel, and he is a fellow Hightstown High School New Jersey graduate, and if I remember correctly, an alum of CW Post. He's also a big-time Dallas Cowboys fan, so please welcome to the show, Bob Schweidel. How are you doing today, Bob?
I'm great, Adam. Thank you very much for having me on the podcast. It's my pleasure to hang out with you for a little while, talk football and the Dallas Cowboys.
Well, there you go. See, it should be an exciting show. The Cowboys are always the talk of every year. And let's just jump right into it and talk some Cowboys. Now, before we start, I always like to geek out a little with some trivia that I let these younger fans and some of the older fans know. That the Cowboys joined the NFL as an expansion team in 1960. We all know that. And that prior to the formation of the Dallas Cowboys, there had not been an NFL team south of Washington, D.C. since the Dallas Texans folded in 1952. Just in case you know that. And the Cowboys' streak of 190 consecutive sold-out regular postseason games, home and away, has been around since 2002. So any question of their popularity across the country needs to take a seat on that, because that's impressive stuff.
It's really, I think, the main reason why I became a Dallas Cowboy fan. My dad was a Giants fan. I'm not sure exactly how this whole thing happened, but I think it was because of the star and because of Staubach and Dorsett in the 70s. And they were on TV all the time, where they sort of became America's team. And I think that's what sort of hooked me into being a Dallas Cowboys fan.
Well, there you go. See, it's probably the same reason why my dad is a Yankee fan. I became a Phillies fan because in those late 70s, early 80s, wow, were the Phillies good. So, all right, let's sit back, take a drink, and let's recap the 2020 season. Now, this 2019 season ends, and the Cowboys clean house. They fired longtime head coach Jason Garrett and all but one of the coaches, I believe, and they hire former Packer and Super Bowl winning coach Mike McCarthy. Then the season started. They lost to San Diego by 3. You were probably very excited. And then they beat the Falcons by 1. And some things just weren't right after that. So, Bob, what went wrong with this team?
Well, I think it all went wrong from the beginning. I wasn't a big Jason Garrett fan. I think he's the kind of coach who will do a nice job at getting a team to 8-8, 9-7, occasionally 12-6. He's sort of a status quo B-minus, C-plus kind of a guy. And I was very supportive of making the change. I did think they needed a change. I thought McCarthy would be good. And I thought a new voice and someone who had a lot of experience, you never know. McCarthy had Aaron Rodgers. So, you know, that doesn't hurt. I can tell you that.
Sure.
But, you know, I was pleased with the move. And it became evident from minute one, the defense on this team was an absolute disaster. So I think when your defense cannot stop anybody, it's hard to even evaluate what's working, what's not working, because they were giving up 40 plus points a game.
Is this true? Did they give up a record 473 points this season? And the defense allowed over 2,541 rushing yards, which put them 31st in the league. So I think that exemplifies the fact you're saying this defense was terrible.
It was terrible. I think, you know, McCarthy brought in Mike Nolan to run this really super complicated defense. They didn't have time in preseason because of COVID, and nobody knew what the hell they were doing. And they were giving up a ton of yards on the ground and in the air. And then there was so much pressure on Dak in the offense to try and score every single time down the field, but not score too quickly, because then you put the defense back on the field. So I just think it was a mess from the jump. And, and they obviously addressed some of those concerns going into this year.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it looks like in addition to the defense, and then of course, all the injuries occurred.
Yeah, exactly. Obviously the big one, Dak Prescott, you know,
right. That ankle foot injury in week 5 against the Giants. That was tough. And then, Elliott's performance was anything but acceptable. I mean, he failed to rush for 1,000 yards. He averaged 4 yards per carry, a career low, and he fumbled 5 times. Was that due to what they're saying? The offensive line wasn't that good either?
I think the offensive line used to be the best in the league a few years ago. I think it's fallen off a little bit, but I still believe they're a better than average offensive line. I think everyone was trying to do too much as opposed to just doing their job and staying in their lane. And Zeke fumbled. Dak was all over the place. They were putting up a ton of points, but I think it was everybody just trying to, bust a touchdown on every single play. And they were just totally, totally out of sync.
Yeah. So defense struggled, offense struggled. On top of that, it's the first time since 1989, the Cowboys didn't have a single player vote into the Pro Bowl. It was just tough all around. Way too many injuries, way too many down years. So, from the get-go, if I'm remembering correctly, after I said they lost to the Chargers, they beat the Falcons.
They beat the Falcons on this very weird squib kick, onside kick at the end of the game. They had no right winning. And then they went out to, lose a few in a row. They wound up winning that Giants game when Dak got hurt. Mm-hmm. And then pretty much it was a handful of losses in a row. And then the only thing that sort of kept them remotely alive was the fact that the division was a disaster. But they weren't really, they're playing third string quarterback some weeks. I mean, it was a total mess.
It was. You can't really argue against that, even trying to find some optimism. What did you feel? Was there anything that you can look back in the season and say, okay, well, at least we had this going for us?
Yeah, I mean, listen, I'm a big Dak fan, and I think before he got hurt, he was putting up a lot of points. He was moving the ball. They were up and down the field. I think the receiving core is really great. I think CeeDee Lamb played very well. I do think there's a ton of pressure on Ezekiel Elliott this year coming into, only a couple of years left on that contract with less guaranteed money each year, so he's got to produce. And they spent a lot of their draft capital and free agency on defense. So I do think if McCarthy doesn't do much better this year in a semi-weak division, he's getting fired too. So, I think there's a ton of pressure on everyone this year to bounce back.
Yeah. I don't think Jones is going to have give him a lot of leeway. But yes, there were Lamb that played well, Cooper played well, and then they combined for over 2,000 receiving yards and 5 touchdowns each. Gallup and Schultz were put up respectable performances, even though Gallup's got to do something about those drop passes. Just way too many statistical drop passes there.
I totally agree. I think he's, he can find his way open, but he's got to figure out a way to catch the ball.
Yes. And Zuerlein, 34 field goals, third in the league. So you got your kicker, 34 field, and then Dallas's passing defense finished in the top 10. So it looks like there was some positives there.
Yep.
So then the season ends. Washington wins the division, and everyone's like, wow, anyone can win this division. So obviously the Cowboys said, we need to focus on the draft and do something. So they knew going to draft, the overwhelming need was defense. After the team allowed a franchise record 473 points, over 6,100 yards last season, the question was, how would they address it and would they address it? And at the end of 3 days, 8 of the Dallas's 11 selections were on defensive side, and that should make the new defensive coordinator, Dan Quinn, kind of happy. What did you think of the draft?
You know, I thought it was really good. Obviously, they focused on defense. Personally, I was expecting and hoping they would get one of the two cornerbacks that were there on the board. And, you know, it seemed like shockingly those two went in the two picks right, you know, right before they picked. They either, you know, missed it or they didn't want to pay to move up. But, you know, the kid they drafted, Micah Parsons out of Penn State, all the draft pundits said, you know, really, really solid player. And some of the other guys, you know, it's hard to exactly make too much out of preseason, but it does feel like between the draft and the free agency, there'll be a lot of new faces and a lot more energy on defense.
That's outstanding. Of course, they need it. You look up and down. They draft a defense from quality schools, you know, that are used to playing tough defensive games. You know, Penn State, Kentucky, UCLA. And so you can't really say that they stretch much. But, yes, I agree with you that they miss some shots.
Yeah, and I do think, you know, if they can stay healthy, which is the number one key in football anyway, with their existing players, mix in some of these newer players. I'm still nervous about the back end of the defense. You know, the cornerbacks are still a little soft. Mm-hmm. But if they can get a good pass rush, then hopefully that can make up for some of that, you know, still maybe learning curves and softness on the back end.
Well, there you go. So while you're looking at this draft, did you take the time as a fan to learn how to pronounce their names? Because I'm looking at Osa's the third pick. Oh, did you figure it out?
I'm smart enough to know that I'm not even going to attempt it on this podcast, right? Right. That would be tricky.
All right, so we'll call him just 00. And that's right. We'll call him 00 for that. Interesting. It was interesting. For most part, the Cowboys are going to have to invest in a lot of letters for the back of the uniform.
Exactly. I mean, the other guy they took from LSU, this kid Jabril Cox, they think is a pretty real player, and some of the other corners they took later in the draft. So, you know, I'm hoping they can mix them in and produce.
Yeah, you can't argue with it. The only issues that most experts are saying with these guys is the off-field concerns. Parsons had a lot of behavioral issues. Joseph, they said, is immaturity and accountability issues, and he's had past team suspensions. And Ball had dating violence in the past, Josh Ball out of Marshall. So a little bit of a off-field issue, but again, they were younger. And now these guys are in the big time. So you got to hope that the quantity is quality.
Yeah, I mean, I think, listen, you know, for me, some of the stuff, especially any of the domestic violence or racism or sort of, you know, non-diversity and inclusion, any of that kind of stuff, to me, that's automatic black flag, like off the table. Can't, you know, that's, you know, not even worth a discussion. Mm-hmm. But some of the other stuff, you know, I think the reality is, you do have young kids in a position of power with a lot of money and a lot of influence. And I think taking the best possible talent, you know, for people that may have had a little mark here or there and hopefully trying to, you know, keep them straight is the right approach.
There you go. That's what you got to do. You got to hope that the team has enough people that can talk to them and processes in place to keep them in line. And when they start to fall out of line, that you can get them back on track. And that's going to be the hope for these young guys. So with the draft, and the players coming back this year, you got to hope the offensive line should return to full health, full strength. And if they can stay healthy, I mean, the offense should be pretty incredibly dangerous. And with the draft, the defense should be better than it was last year.
That's my approach. The offense should put up a ton of points, assuming Dak comes back and is healthy, you know. And if the defense is just average, they don't have to be the best defense in the league. Just be average. They're going to be pretty darn good in a weak division.
There you go. And that's – you got to keep throwing in there because that's true. Sort of like the NL East this year in baseball, it's a weak division. And it's just who's ever going to win just enough games to win the division is going to make the playoffs. And that's what they want to do.
Exactly.
So I was doing a little research, and there were five predictions – that listeners of the show sent in. So I'm going to read these five. You tell me if you think they can happen or not.
Okay.
So number one, Randy Gregory hits double digit sacks.
I do. I think it's really possible if he stays focused. I think he and DeMarcus Lawrence can really have a big time pass rush. So I'll go yes on that one.
Okay, excellent. DeMonte Casey leads the NFL in interceptions.
I'm going to go with no. I think he can have a nice year. I think he played super well under Dan Quinn in the past, but that feels a little aggressive to me.
Good stretch. Okay. Three wide receivers on Dallas over 1,000 yards each.
I think it'll be close. I don't know if Gallup can get there, but I would think Amari Cooper and CeeDee Lamb should both go over 1,000 yards.
All right, there you go. So it's possible. It's a stretch. Mm-hmm. But possible. Yep. Dak Prescott throws for 5,000 yards.
I think that could happen. I think he's going to throw the ball all over the yard. I think he's excited to get back. And I think they're going to really, again, defense will be better, but I think they know they have to score.
Okay, so then this last one, you're probably going to think it's not a stretch either. The Cowboys win 13 games this year.
I don't think they can get to 13. you know, I think double digits would be nice, but I think that's a little aggressive.
Oh, okay. All right. So these are good, and I appreciate the listeners sending those in because they were fun predictions. Kind of stretchy, but yes. So
I love it. I hope they do. I'm rooting for it.
All right. So with the defense in question, the offense will light it up. Right. We're going to look at the season, the predictions of the season. Even though Dallas is 0-2 right now in preseason, preseason is preseason. So let's start. Season kicks off Thursday night, Dallas at Tampa Bay.
See, if Tampa Bay had a quarterback, that would scare me a little bit. No. listen, while I'm going to be super excited for this game and I'm going to root my brains out, I think just to be realistic, that's a really, really tough spot walking into Tampa, getting their Super Bowl rings. So I would have to be, straight and say that's probably a loss.
Okay. I do agree with you. I think it's a stretch to expect them to win in Tampa, especially as such a young team on defense and everyone come back together and again against the champions. All right. So then they stay on the road and they go to Los Angeles.
Yes, this one's a real swing game for the season. I think this will be a good measuring stick to see how good they are. Justin Herbert's a rock star, should be really good. They have a dominant offense. I'm going to say the Cowboys get a win here. They got a week and a half off in between the game. They have a long week. It's early in the season. And I'm going to say they put it together and get a win.
All right. Well, there you go. That's an early win for the boys. I had them losing it because I just think, as you said, Herbert is quality, and I think it'll give them plenty of time to prepare for Cowboys, and still a little too young. So I'm giving them the loss there. And now you come home to the Eagles.
Yeah, I mean, if you don't win this game, then you're going to have a really, really, really long season. You know, all the predictions are the Eagles are going to struggle, more of a rebuild. So I would say they definitely beat the Eagles, especially at home.
Okay. Well, there you go. So I teetered because I know that they're not going to be any sweeps in the division, but maybe because it's just what I'm feeling. I'm giving them the loss at home versus the East. So just because I feel that later in the season they're going to build up this team. So I'm not shooting you down or anything.
No, it's right.
I don't want you to be disgusted with me, but I'm giving a loss. So you have them at 2-1. Right now I have them at 0-3. Okay. But here comes a pause. So then they're at home versus Carolina.
And that's a win as well. Sam Darnold, I mean, you know, they're gonna find a way to win that game.
I agree with you right there. There's the Cowboys' first win on my side. They are 3-1 on your side. So are you sure that 13 wins is still a stretch in the first four games?
Yeah, well, you're going to see some teams. Just hang in, you know?
Okay. This is all right. This is all right. I'm ready. Okay. So then you stay at home versus the Giants.
I think they beat the Giants as well. I mean, I think they're going to win their division games so at home. So I would say it's a win.
There you go. Same as me. So 2-3 on my side, 4-1 on yours as they go to New England.
Yeah, so this one's, again, I would sort of line this one up with the loss with the Charger game, with the Minnesota game. There's sort of all these like sort of coin flip games. So I gave him a win against Los Angeles. I'll give him a loss against New England, so it balances it out.
Balance, and that's what I'm talking about, balance. I think New England by now is either going to be all in on Cam or ready to move towards Mac. I'm concerned about New England with so many opt-outs and injuries and age. So I'm giving them a win against New England, even in New England.
Right.
You're 3-3 on my side, and they are 4-2 on your side. Not too bad going to the bye week. I mean, you take it, right?
Absolutely.
All right. There you go. So you got the bye week, and then for the third primetime game of the year at Minnesota.
I think this is another one of those games this year, the at Minnesota, at New Orleans, Denver game. Like, there's a few of these games that really, really are coin flips that I don't feel unbelievably strongly about. Minnesota's a tough place to play. I don't happen to think they're going to be really good this year. I think they're actually going to take a big step back, Minnesota. But I will say that Dallas comes up on the short end on that game, and Minnesota wins the game.
I teetered. I do agree with you. I think it's going to be a loss. I think it's just so tough to win in Minnesota. I agree. Okay, so then they try to rebound coming home versus the Broncos.
And I think they win that game. I'm not sold on Broncos' quarterback situation. They can play defense, but, you know, I think they win that game at home.
I agree. Just like New England, I don't think they're settled on and by midseason, they're going to be struggling to figure out who their quarterback is. So I'm giving them a win as well. And then they stay home versus Atlanta.
I think they win that game as well. I think Dan Quinn knows that defense. Atlanta lost Julio Jones. Mm-hmm. They definitely have some firepower, but I don't know what their defense is. So I think especially at home, they beat Atlanta.
I agree as well. I think Atlanta's got way too many questions. And again, another year, they're older, a team that really hit had that horrible Super Bowl against the Patriots, and they just seem to be falling backwards every single year. So I gave the Cowboys a win as well. They're both 2-1 after the bye week. So looking good. And now they should have no trouble going to the Chiefs, right? In Kansas
City. Right, easy. That's right, easy, right. Mm-hmm. They go up and they get throttled against Mahomes, and that's what it is. You know?
All right, there's really nothing really to say about that. Again, we have to assume that Mahomes and the entire team is healthy. And if they are, Andy Reid's going to make sure that they are ready for it. The Cowboys coming in and they're going to trounce them. So I agree. So then we both 2-2 after the break. And then they're at home versus the Raiders.
Yeah, Raiders Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Listen, I don't see any reason why they can't beat the Raiders. I don't think the Raiders are anything special. So I think they win on Thanksgiving and they go ahead and beat the Raiders.
I have the same thing. And so far, I believe talking about the Raiders on the last couple of episodes I've done, I have no faith in them at all. I don't think they have much as far as.
Is this like the fourth year of Gruden, like for a 10-year deal, like at some point, third or fourth year, like at some point, maybe win it, get a winning record, do something. I mean, I don't know,
Maybe. Aren't they on the Hard Knocks again? Are they back? Are they the Hard Knocks team?
I know Cowboys are the Hard Knocks.
Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, my goodness. We didn't even get into that. Oh, all right, there you go. So with that aside, they're still going to be the Raiders. And then they come they head to New Orleans, another primetime game following the Thanksgiving game.
Right. So, there's a part of me that wants to pick them to win this game because I don't really even know the New Orleans quarterback situation, and that could be a step back. It's just that New Orleans is a really tough place to play. So, I'll say they lose that game, although it wouldn't shock me if they're really playing well, if they find a way to win, but I'll say they lose that game.
I very much like the Raiders situation and even the New England situation. Without Brunell, that is a Breeless team. I'm not sold on Winston. I'm not sold on Taysom Hill. I'm not sold on them at all. So I'm giving your Cowboys a win there.
Nice.
Yes. You should be very excited. Now they're on a road trip, and now they got to stay on the road and go to Washington, who still does not have a name. They're just Washington.
Yeah. I think Listen, I think they're going to split with Washington. So I'll say they'll lose that game in Washington. They play really, really well against the Redskins. Not the Redskins, the football team. Sorry.
Yeah.
And right. Yeah. but I think they lose on the road.
Okay.
So tough defense for Washington.
Yeah. I agree. I actually did an episode earlier with Larry Taxon, who talked Washington, and he had me sold on his defense. They are going to be tough to beat. And if Fitzpatrick is actually anything in Washington, they're going to be a tough team to beat. So
right.
I agree. I gave them the loss as well. And now you stay on the road for the third consecutive game. So they're on the road in Kansas City. Then they got to play on Thanksgiving, then in New Orleans, in Washington, and now they head to New York.
Yeah, so if it was almost anybody but New York, I would say they're going to lose again. But I don't see it with the Giants. I think their offensive line is a disaster. Who knows what Saquon Barkley is going to do coming off the injury. I don't know what Daniel Jones is. They have some receivers, and their defense was really good last year, but they can't score. And I think the Cowboys are going to be able to find a way to score. So I'm going to say the Cowboys win that game.
As I said, I don't see I lied to you. I said I didn't see sweeps. I agree with you. I picked the Giants to lose to the Cowboys. I'm not actually allowed to, per Ryan's orders, to talk negatively about the Giants on this show. But I agree. I don't think they really improved enough in this division to be able to hold enough with the Eagles, the Washington, and Dallas. I don't. I'm giving the Dallas the win as well there. And now we come. The Dallas comes home for their, not counting Thanksgiving, their fifth primetime game against Washington.
Yeah, I think they split with Washington. I think they lose on the road, and I think they beat them at home. So that's what I'm going with.
Yes, I agree with you as well. I had them winning, losing at first on in the road, winning at home. Wow, they're looking strong. And then they stay at home versus Arizona.
Yes, this is another tough one. So I gave them a loss on the road in New England. I gave them a loss on the road in Minnesota. A game, a loss, a road on New Orleans, some of these swing games. So I'm going to say they beat Arizona at home.
Wow. Maybe the Hail Murray name really sticks out well. If they stay healthy, I think they're going to be a strong team, not for their division, but against most of the rest of the NFL. So I gave the Cowboys a loss there. And to finish this year, the Cowboys head to the Eagles, which should be maybe a battle for the division.
Yeah. I mean, I think the Eagles are going to be in rebuild mode. I think they're still figuring out the quarterback. I still think, I think they're going to be playing out the string on that last week, the Eagles. So I think if the Cowboys need it, they find a way to win that game.
I agree. Especially if the Eagles.
I was going to say, especially with the extra playoff team this year, there could be more of an opportunity to, make that last week meaningful for more teams.
Yeah. Yeah. And the way Eagles played last year, I mean, if they bring in a fifth string quarterback, I think Cowboys will have a pretty good shot at it. So.
Exactly. Maybe they'll play without a quarterback in this game.
You never know. Yeah. It hasn't been tried yet. Line up an extra running back and just give somebody the ball. So let's give it a try. All right. So looking at it, you have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. You have 10. You're 10 and 8, right? Is that your prediction? 10 and 7?
Yeah, that sounds right.
That's exactly what I had picked. So there you go. 10 and 7. We are both intelligent, college educated. Hightstown, East Windsor, Twin Rivers raised kids. Can we be wrong? I don't think we can be wrong.
No, and I think it wins the division. I think 10 games wins this division. I think 9 is potentially winning it or close. And maybe get some, even if they fall a game short of the division, maybe you still get in the playoffs.
Wow. That would be nice to see two out of that division make it. And don't tell Ryan, but as long as it's not the Giants. Okay, so there you go. So, all right, so that's not bad. 10-7 for the Cowboys. This upcoming 21 Twin Cities. You heard it here, if not first, definitely in the top 100 places you can hear it. So we've talked about last season, all the hardships. You talk about the draft and all the potential, and of course, 10 wins coming into 2021. So everyone's excited. They're all happy now, Bob, and they want to hear from how true and how far back you go. As we close out, tell me your five favorite Cowboys of all time. We know you became a Cowboys fan because of the star, and you're always on TV, but when you're talking about the team, what players really shine in your eyes as some of the five favorites of all time?
Sure. Well, if you think about, I guess my top five Cowboys, I mean, Staubach and Dorsett have to be up there because they were the two people who probably, the main reasons that I became a fan. And then it's really hard, to not then go to the next dominant generation of Cowboy teams. I would say Aikman, Emmitt Smith. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I was a huge Jason Witten fan. I would say those would probably be the five. I was a big Tony Romo fan. He certainly had his flaws. He wasn't amazing, but he was really, really good. And he kept him in a lot of games. So I would say those would be the five, Staubach, Dorsett, Aikman, Emmitt, and Witten, I would say, would be probably the top.
Romo kind of in there.
Romo, yeah, six, yeah.
So are there anybody on the current team that really stand out as, you would wear their jersey and you would defend your life? You put your life on the line for them.
No, so, it's very funny. My son and I, he's a Cowboy fan too. And we have this joke all the time about, like, jerseys. So when we grew up, Adam, you bought a jersey of like a player and that player was on the team for a lot of years. And if something really awful happened, it was like terrible. You spent all this money on a jersey. I now think jerseys are almost like an annual kind of thing. It's like Premier League soccer where you get a new looking uniform every single year because the way the players turn over and the way the players go from being great to terrible to cut to traded to things like that. So yeah, I mean, would I get a Dak Prescott jersey? Sure. Zeke? Sure. CeeDee Lamb? Yeah. I don't know that there's many people on the defense right now. I would say those guys, sure.
Okay. All right. So you support your team and that's the most important thing.
Yeah, sure.
So when I was looking at it, I was like, well, as a Steeler fan, can I actually come up with five Cowboys I like? I couldn't. I tried. I really couldn't say I liked them. I mean, Emmitt Smith was quality, and I'll never say that. Dorsett was amazing. Even Drew Pearson, I throw it.
Yeah.
So I decided to go with the top five things I dislike about the Cowboys, and only as a Steeler fan perspective, not as a human being perspective, even though I think those two partner with each other. And you may agree with some of these, or at least understand them. All right, so number five, the term America's team. Yeah. That perceived sense of entitlement, the Cowboys flaunt, is so unnatural. It's unnatural. Someone coined that phrase and it stuck with it. They're not really America's team anymore. They're not. If anything, you have to say New England is America's team because they're always winning. They have a youthful, good-looking quarterback. They had a Jewish wide receiver. I mean, the team is with Flood. They had a criminal at tight end. It's a perfect American team. So that upsets me just a little, not too much. I don't lose sleep over it, but it does.
Yeah, you broke up a little bit towards the end. It was hard to hear. I heard the part where you were complimenting them as America's team, and then the rest of it I sort of lost. Okay. I didn't hear as much. So
no,
yeah,
no worries. But
continue.
I made a lot of sense, and I really sound good. All right.
No kidding. No, so, I love the America's team stuff, and I know how if you're not a Cowboys fan, you would hate it. But right, yeah. Right.
So number four, and I think this year really says it. They're on TV way too much. Okay. Five primetime games and Thanksgiving, that's six times. If you want to watch football, they're the only thing you can watch. six times, and this team had a losing record last year, six primetime games that accounts Thanksgiving. That's not fair. I mean, where are, you know, the Broncos aren't on that much, the Lions, you know, how come the Bengals aren't on that much, you know?
Those are historically losing franchises.
Yes, they are. But if you took losing teams from last year, they would fit in the mold.
Right. They're trying to predict who's going to be successful this year.
Yes, they are. So again, we did. So the experts do. So I'm giving that to you. I'm just saying that's a lot. That's a lot. Okay. Number three, Deion Sanders and Terrell Owens. Yeah. I hate players who think they are bigger than the team. They were arrogant. They were cocky. And damn, they were freaking good. Okay. And I despise them for that. They were so good. Deion was good in two sports, for crying out loud. And he didn't play for the Steelers or the Phillies. So, and he didn't play for the Yankees, for crying out loud. Oh, it was painful. But they were so good. Bah, they were
Deion
so
was good. Amazing. Deion was absolutely incredible.
So I guess that falls into the line of I hate him so much. I wish they were Steelers. That's kind of where it goes. That's how it was. It was very much when I was talking Browns. And I mentioned Webster Slaughter. He was so good. I hate him so much. I wish he was a Steeler. That's how good he was. All right. Number two, Aikman. Now, you loved him, but because he was a godlike, well-chiseled player, and now he's still one of the most handsome men in the NFL, that's not fair. I mean, he's got these massive hands. He's chiseled. He looks like an Adonis. It's just not fair. And as a 5'7", and I go by that height because my doctor told me that once, a 5'7" man, it's not fair. One man should not have that much water in the cup.
I get it. I mean, he was great.
He was. And then finally, Jerry Jones. I don't know what else I have to say about it. I hate when an owner thinks he's bigger than the team. And I think Jerry Jones, the Steinbrenners, we hate him. And I think you have to have some hatred for him as well.
Yeah. So, you know what? I'm very mixed on Jerry Jones because from a businessman, forget it. The guy's like off the charts. He's incredible. I mean, he's really helped grow the league, helped grow the team, made zillions of dollars. I mean, really, really great. Where I don't think he's running as much of the day-to-day operations as he wants to tell you he's running, because you could see it by them drafting Zach Martin instead of Johnny Manziel. They're staying disciplined in the most recent drafts, that I don't think he has as much control. What I find interesting is everybody rips him for being the GM and their lack of supposed quality in the draft, but then they also rip the Cowboys for underachieving because they have so much talent on the team. Mm-hmm. So in one way, you can't say he's a horrible GM when Zeke, Dak, CeeDee Lamb, whatever player, like, you know, they've had all these players for all these years. So you kind of, I mean, listen, do I think he's a little bit of a clown? Yeah. Do I think he needs to publicly be less in the spotlight and do less interviews? Yes. But ultimately, I think the guys running the team are really the football people. And I think he's just the figurehead that just craves that ego and needs to get credit for it. So if they win, I'll deal with it.
All right. Well, there you go. I guess we'll all have to, because again, according to us, the experts, and according to the other experts, the Cowboys should be better. And this division could allow them to win or at least make the playoffs. And once you make the playoffs, the Giants have done it before. Tampa showed it. You never know what happens.
Exactly. Yeah.
So there you go. So I think this was a great wrap up to, and we talked about the Cowboys at length and in depth. It was an outstanding show, and I'm very excited that you were here, Bob. I can't thank you enough for taking the time out of your Thursday afternoon to come on the show and talk. Anything you want to share with everybody?
No, I just want to thank you again. It was great to reconnect. It was great to talk football, great to talk to Cowboys. I look forward to getting together hopefully soon. Maybe we can get together on a Sunday, watch the games, and grab a drink.
There you go. I think that would be an outstanding idea. Myers did kick us both out when the Cowboys beat the Steelers, saying you're not allowed in there, and I'm not allowed back because I'm the bad luck type. But yes, let's pull that off.
Sounds perfect. Thanks again, Adam.
Absolutely. Listeners, thank you very much for listening. Keep listening to Quarantine Football with Nate and Ryan. Nate, Ryan, Dorian, and all other guests will be back soon. Ryan promises he's just got to get back to school and get his stuff in order. So, again, thank you for listening. Keep following, and please, please stay healthy and get the vaccine. Have a great one.
Thanks.